okay.
There's a difference between movements and the movement of God's Spirit. God moves by His Spirit, and a movement is built around it. And what a lot of believers don't realize is all movements have a certain shelf life. They're not meant to last forever. And what we see built around a moving of the Holy Spirit, some of those things are meant to pass away. They become old. But the moving of the Spirit is eternal. And we're destined to move with God and continue to grow throughout our life. A lot of believers get disillusioned because they can't separate what's built around a moving of God's Spirit from His actual Spirit. And we need to be able to discern and know that when things pass away, find out from God, maybe they're meant to drop off and pass away. And to be more and more aware of how the Holy Spirit is leading. The Lord helped me with this, if you can visualize a rocket ship. And how it takes that thrust to break through the atmosphere, and then the booster drops off, but the rocket still keeps going. And the booster becomes just a form. It was needed to break through the atmosphere, but it's kind of sad to me to think of how many believers will cling to that booster stage, that booster rocket, and the form as it drifts back into the earth. Atmosphere. We can go to church every week, read our Bibles every day, pray every day. The fact that we do all the right things doesn't mean that those things have life. They could just be a form we're holding on to.
That's right.
We need to be sure that we're with the rocket that's moving forward to the goal that God has, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We want to be attached where that fuel of the Holy Spirit is still moving forward. And I looked to the Lord and I asked Him, what does it mean to keep moving with You? How do we know we're not just holding on to form? What do I mean by form? Rituals. Just things we do that just may not have any life in themselves. I should bring a scripture on that if I could real quick. 2 Timothy. Verse 3:5 says, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. And then verse 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's part of religious nature to hold to a form of godliness, but not necessarily be relating to the power that's there. Or ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You can read that later, 2 Timothy 3, 5 and 7. In other words, we can be holding to a form and still be learning a lot, growing in knowledge, but the truth of who the Lord is may not be real to our own hearts. A lot of people that hold to the form make idols out of certain things, and they're holding to idols, and they don't realize that they've let go of the person of the Lord. You remember in Numbers chapter 21, when Moses raised the brown serpent. Let me read it. The serpent was made to heal the people. This is Numbers 21:9. Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a standard. And it came about that if a serpent bit any person, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. Okay, God directed Moses to make something that was a healing for the people. And we go into 2 Kings 18:4, I don't hear the Bibles rustling there, you know better, probably just write it down. But no, read this later. 2 Kings 18:4, it's when Hezekiah is breaking down the idolatry. It says he removed the high places, broke down the sacred pillars. He also broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. What God had used became an idol that had to be broken down. So when we're holding to form, we can hold to idols and we can say, well, God did things a certain way and I'm just holding on to that. The only thing you want to hold on to is where the power is, the life of the Lord. You don't want to make an idol of what God did in the past where it has no life. So holding on and moving with the rocket to the goal has to do with our love for God growing, our passion. Hosea chapter 6, let us return to the Lord. If we're not holding on to form, then we must be growing in love. Something's changing in our heart. Our awareness of God's love and our capacity to love increases. That's what keeps us flowing toward destiny. I'm going to read some scriptures about love in 1 John out of the Phillips. I know Brent Finney did this a few weeks back, and I like the translation. But to understand what it means to continue to open up our capacity to love, for that capacity to grow, 1 John 3 says in 14 and 15, we know that we have crossed the frontier from death to life because we do love our brothers. Okay, I've talked about our spiritual journey. What does it mean to grow spiritually? I think it's moving out of fear into the realm of love. And here it's talking about crossing the frontier from death to life. What is death? Has to do with anything in the fleshly realm, right? Everything passes away in this realm. But I think it's referring to our fears. We pass out of our fears into life, into the love of God, because of his loving one another. This journey into love means that at some point we've got to face our fears. And I really want to hit on this morning, because I think Christians have a bigger problem with this than most people. Something about the religious atmosphere is we're afraid to face fear. There's a wrong way of thinking. Like, people think, well, if I give voice to my fears, I give them power. The opposite is true. What you don't face concerning your fears, you empower. And by not facing and being honest with our fears, they go underground. We can even drive them from our conscious mind. But what we don't face, we empower. And what we empower controls our life. Let me read a scripture out of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. It's talking about he might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Now, this is really important. Fear of death, they became slaves. Nobody likes to talk about death, right? That's something we... No matter how much we talk about eternal life and how wonderful heaven is going to be, you know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. You know, it's something, it's a fear we don't want to address. But it says the devil controls, enslaves people because of the fear of death. When we don't face our fears control us and enslave us. Now, there's a difference between facing your fears and becoming a negative channel to what you fear. Now, I'm not talking about voicing a lot of negative things and polluting the atmosphere with all this negativity. Giving voice to your fears is simply this. You bring what's underground to the light where God can deal with it. You give it voice in saying, God, I'm going to be honest before you what I fear. And in bringing it to the light, God can bring healing. Voice is bringing it before the Lord. David did this throughout the Psalms. Read the Psalms. Whatever was going on in his life, he didn't try to hide it from God. He voiced it. We need to have more courage to voice some of those deep-seated fears at our core, at least before God. Give it a voice. Present it before him. See how he responds to it. Part of the problem we have is we're not going to bring our fears before anyone we don't trust. If we believe that God is good, that he loves us, then it's safe for us to voice our fears and bring our fears to him. If we believe that God is looking for every opportunity to punish us because of our bad behavior and our bad thoughts, there's no way we're going to do that. I think a reason a lot of believers hide their fears from God, or try to, I mean, God sees everything anyway, is because they fear being judged and condemned. Who is God to you? Is he simply a judge up in the sky somewhere waiting for you to, for something negative to come out of your life so he can pronounce judgment on you? Is God your punisher? Or does God truly love you? What do you believe about God? Because if you don't believe that God is love, now that I know the scripture says that. Everybody in this room can find it in your Bible. But do we believe it? If we believe God is love, then it's safe for us to bring our fears to Him, where He can bring healing to our hearts. We need this freedom. We talk about bringing things to the presence of the Lord. If we don't believe God is love, we're going to be afraid of His presence. We won't want to get near His presence, because His presence to us will mean judgment. But if we believe that God's nature is good, that He loves us, then we welcome His presence. It's healing to us. It's a liberty. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Do you believe that? So when our fears are voiced before God and are brought to the light, what replaces the fear? Freedom and liberty. This is what it means to grow spiritually, I believe. It's not just talking about it. It's these fears coming to His light, being healed of the fearful nature that we have, deep in our core, journeying, making that journey from fear into love. And in that process, we discover what true freedom and liberty is all about. I think fear has bound believers up more than we realize. I mean, just think of, I mean, everyone here needs to really apply this and think of where your life is bound up in fear. Probably a lot of things you don't want to voice to other people. Maybe you don't need to. You just need to voice it to God. I think about how in a church setup, how leadership, I was thinking about this, how this can play into it. Sometimes with leaders, people have a certain image or false expectation that if someone's a leader, they need to be better than I am. Now, if you're following someone spiritually or you're submitting to leadership with that idea, you're going to be disappointed somewhere, because that's a wrong relating. That's not spiritual relating. You relate to leadership because there's an authority or deposit there. We submit to one another because of that, not because someone is better. So what we tend to do is leaders become isolated. When they feel that expectation, people expect me to be something I'm not. There's that fear that isolates. So that person that's leading can't be free to be themselves. They can't be honest with their life. And you see how this works. And then people have this false expectation. Oh, the leader has got to be infallible. If they speak a word from God, everything that comes from their mouth has got to be golden from God. Nobody is infallible. We know that. But all this plays out in the religious system, and all these fears have all this control, and it disrupts the growth and the love that's to be there. Now, I'm just one example of thousands of examples, probably. What do we need to see in church? We need to see people able to be honest and be who they are, and to know that they're going to be accepted. Moving out of fear into love. I want to read some verses out of 1 John. I want to refer to this real quick. When we're controlled by fear, it's a no growth zone. We've created a perfect atmosphere for nothing to grow. Fear paralyzes. When we allow that fears to come to the light, what happens? Everything begins to change. Growth takes place. Things are shaken up, like the prophecy today. God will shake everything that can be shaken. The good news about that is all your fears can be shaken. Not a pleasant process, but what's going to remain? His love. Freedom in your life. 1 John, we've read this verse. We know that we have crossed the frontier from death to life because we love our brothers. Okay, now we talked about we have to know that God is love before we open our fears to Him. Sometimes we need to express our fears one to another, don't we? We need to be honest with one another. If we don't know that someone loves us, it is not safe to express our fears. There's no way you're going to do it. If I don't trust that you really love me for who I am, I'm not going to bring up a core fear, because I'm going to worry about you judging me and rejecting me because of it. So what is being written here about loving one another, love becomes that atmosphere where fears can be expressed and healed, dealt with. This is why we have to have this love one for another. The love has got to be unconditional. It's got to be God's love. That no matter what comes out of someone's life, it doesn't shake the relationship we have with them in the spirit. I think some fears, probably we just need to voice between us and God. Some fears we need to come clean with one another. But the atmosphere has got to be one of love if that's to take place. We know and to some extent realize the love of God for us because Christ expressed it in laying down his life for us. We must in turn express our love by laying down our lives for those who are brothers. Okay, this love has a quality of sacrifice to it, doesn't it? Somewhere along the line, you sacrifice your ego to be in that relationship of love with your brother and sister. And it goes back to this thing of facing our fears. When you are willing to come clean and let things that you fear inside come to the surface and be exposed, you're laying down your life. A lot of times when I've had to do that, I'm laying down my pride. It doesn't make me look real good when I have those kind of things come out for everybody to see. But it's part of the process of love. And if we live like this, live like what?
Freedom.
Loving one another, yeah. Loving one another and freedom. If we live like this, we shall know that we are children of the truth, and we can reassure ourselves in the sight of God, even if our hearts make us feel guilty. For God is infinitely greater than our hearts. He knows everything. When we realize this, our hearts no longer accuse us. We may have the utmost confidence in God's presence. Let's stop there. Hearts accusing. We're talking about the deep things inside, the voices of condemnation, the fears again. God is greater than this. When there is an atmosphere of love, the accusation that can come on a very deep level is exposed to the light. It is no longer something that controls us. This is saying here that God is greater than those fears, and we can live in his presence. Okay. When we realize this, our hearts no longer accuse us. We may have the utmost confidence in God's presence. We receive whatever we ask for because we are obeying his orders and following his plans. His orders are this, that we should put our trust in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. The man who does not obey God's command, the man who does obey God's command lives in God and God lives in him. And it goes on. The commands of God, trust in Jesus, live in love. End of story. Right? Two examples I want to go to in closing the word this morning, because when we are moving in this process of love, and again you say, well, how do I grow in love? Face your fears. If you're facing your fears, you're opening up for a greater capacity for love. It brings internal change, but it also releases extraordinary faith. It impacts the world. Two examples. 1 Kings 18, you can read about it later. The story of Elijah versus the prophets of Baal. You know the background? Jezebel, basically, I know everyone here has heard about the Jezebel spirit. It's been used, misused, and we got to bind that spirit of Jezebel. It's interesting that this woman, a very evil woman, had a psychic hold on a whole nation. Elijah confronts the people of Israel. He says, how long will you halt between two opinions? If you want to serve Baal, serve Baal. If you want to serve God, serve God. Something in that fear that came out of that woman's life paralyzed a nation where they couldn't make a decision. They kind of loved God, they kind of loved Baal, they couldn't do anything. So this scene is set up, Elijah sets it up, where the true God is going to reveal himself. Now, he doesn't have prayer meetings saying we got to pray against the spirit of Jezebel and we got to bind this woman. What's the answer? God needs to come on the scene. And once God comes on the scene, something is set in motion that changes everything. And you know the story. He wets the altar down, he hoses it down full of water, and the fire of God comes down, and a whole nation is turned back to the Lord. And the one verse I want to read out of that, where am I here? First Kings 18. After this, he says, "Answer me, O Lord, answer me that the people may know that thou, O Lord, art God, and you have turned their heart back again." What motivated Elijah to do this? Now, the first answer you're going to give me is he showed great faith. True. But it was the motivation of love for God that released extraordinary faith. Here is Elijah, and he's saying before everybody that I'm alone in the prophet of God, and that wasn't true. There were a lot of prophets in the land. You know that, right? But they weren't effective. Elijah had such passion for God. He looked and said, here are a nation of people that are frozen in fear. I know you, God. I know who you are. I know you're real and you're alive. I can't stand for this any longer. It was the love in his heart for God that motivated him to stand out there and say, okay, this is going to change today. Amen. The real God's going to show up. We look at the faith and we say, I wish I had that kind of zeal. How do I produce that kind of faith? It's the love for God, the passion, that releases that kind of faith. Another example is in 1 Samuel 17 with David and Goliath. Same situation. You have one boy, one person coming up against a giant. You have a nation, Israel, locked in fear, unable to move. And we say, David showed such great faith to come out with what, a slingshot, bring down a giant. He expressed extraordinary faith because he was moved and motivated by God's love. Here's what David had to say. Starting 1 Samuel 17:34. David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. When he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And you know what happened with that. David learned when nobody was watching how to care for God's sheep. Okay? He developed a love for that which God cared for. So when he came into this battleground, Goliath was no different than a lion or bear. David was motivated by the love for God's people. He had that shepherd's heart. That's what a shepherd's heart means. You care for what God cares for. Amen. He looked and said, I love God too much. I know how much God loves these people, the nation of Israel. This Philistine cannot stand before God and do what he's doing and live. He was motivated by love, and he demonstrated extraordinary faith. And God worked a great miracle that day. And that, I believe that's our destiny. Now, maybe it won't be these extreme examples, but just in everyday life, faith working by love. When we are growing in love, our capacity for love is increasing. Out of that love comes a faith that's truly anchored in God and in the Spirit. It's not something you have to work up. I got to be more dedicated. I got to use more willpower. I got to pray a little bit louder, say it a little more force. No, it has nothing to do with human nature. Because of your love for God, you just know that God is going to show up. You just know that God is going to demonstrate his power to do what he needs to do. Amen. Lord, on our heart, each one of us today, we have fears that are hiding beneath the surface, still exercising too much control in our life. And Lord, we express to you our desire to be a part of that rocket that's going to the goal, that's moving forward in destiny in you. With your Spirit today, Lord, just cause our passion for you, our love to increase. Let it be something so real that we are
have the courage to face all the fears that may lurk underneath the surface, and let them all come to the light. Perfect love casts out fear, Lord. We want to grow in you. We don't want to be controlled by anything of the negative, but Lord, we want to experience total liberty in your spirit. Those people that are filled with your love that can demonstrate extraordinary faith in you. Amen. Amen.